Next, a segment I'm calling I Told You So. In February 2016, LNL was intrigued by a story published in Bloomberg News about a secretive, scheming billionaire called Robert Mercer. Now, Zachary Mider, the reporter, told us on the wireless back then that Mercer, one of the wealthiest and most reactionary Republicans in the country, was supporting Ted Cruz to become the Republican candidate. Well, by mid-August, he'd switched his support to Donald Trump, and with it came his key lieutenants, Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon, and his big data company that supposedly dives deep into individual voters' lives, which apparently allowed the Trump campaign to tailor individual campaign messages like DNA code. Well, you told us so. Zachary, thank you for coming back.
I'm so glad to be here.
You told us, didn't you? You told us about this Mr. Mercer and his friends Kellyanne Conway and Mr. Bannon. Did people listen back in the day when you said all this a year ago?
Well, apparently Donald Trump listened because he ended up hiring both Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon and benefiting from the support of Bob Mercer. In a way, the right people were listening.
So a year ago, we hadn't heard of Bannon and Kellyanne Conway. We have now, but I guess we're still figuring out Mr. Mercer. Remind our listeners who Robert Mercer is.
Bob Mercer is one of the more fascinating people who've come across the political landscape here in the United States. He is a computer programmer by training. He's been playing around with computers since the 1950s when they were the size of, you know, big rooms. And he was he's basically a computer genius. And he ended up very late in life getting involved in using computers to invest and made a fortune. Didn't even start in that line of work till his late 40s. And then just in the past few years, he has become one of the biggest political donors in the country. He's very conservative and was a key supporter of Donald Trump during the presidential campaign.
And it's also known that he's you call him an icy cold poker player who never recalls having a nightmare.
that's exactly right. There's a lot of kind of legends about Robert Mercer, partly because even he doesn't speak to the press, has never given an interview about his political beliefs. But even among people who know him well, who work with him every day, he's pretty mysterious. It's very common to sit through a meeting with him where everyone else is talking and he just won't say a thing. Sometimes he'll even he'll whistle to himself.
Whistling in the meeting?
Yes. Yes, he's kind of known for that at the hedge fund that he works at, Renaissance Technologies, where he's now co-CEO. And I can confirm to you that that's true because I actually met him last summer outside a fundraiser event. I introduced myself and he was indeed kind of quietly whistling to himself.
And it almost seems that he encourages this idea of himself as a mysterious figure. What have you been able to sort of figure out about his politics? Because he sort of points a fire hose of millions of dollars at various conservative candidates and opens it until they either float to the top of the system or they disappear without trace. And then he points the fire hose at the next hopeful. He ended up pointing it at Trump. But what's all this in to advance? What does he believe?
That's a terrific question. I would say that compared to other donors, he's harder to figure out. For instance, the Koch brothers, who are very well known as major conservative political donors in the United States, are pretty open about their political beliefs. They are pretty much card-carrying libertarians, and they spend a lot of time trying to sort of think through and articulate their philosophy. With Sheldon Adelson, who's a casino mogul, another big Republican donor, he is just laser focused on Israel. That's his issue. Robert Mercer is more difficult to pin down. What I would say after having done a lot of reporting about him is that the commonality I see through a lot of different things where he's given is that he really couldn't care less about the received wisdom, the conventional wisdom, what everyone else in the donor world is doing. He's going to chart his own path. So he's supported a lot of causes that you might see as fringe. He's been willing to invest in ideas that others have dismissed. And he doesn't seem to be really, he seems to be kind of indifferent to what everybody else, what the flavor of the month is for everybody else.
So there you account that he's had this campaign to support the death penalty in Nebraska. He's funded ads in New York critical of Ground Zero. He and his daughter direct money to anti-abortion groups and Christian colleges, but no one's ever heard them talk about religion. So you've got all this complexity going on. And then he sets up this organization, or he funds this organization called Cambridge Analytica with his millions. Why did he invest in that company?
So this is one of a series of things that Mercer has done that were to some degree in concert with Steve Bannon, who was the was the executive chairman of Breitbart News and now is a senior advisor to the president, Donald Trump. And what they have in common, what this and a few other things he did have in common, is kind of a rejection, not just of what the liberals are up to, but of where mainstream Republican thinking is. So Cambridge Analytica has a very kind of unique and controversial approach to running political campaigns. It's a data firm that claims to have these psychographic profiles of Americans where they can figure out not just like how old they are, male or female, whether they're liberal or conservative, but actually their personality types. Are they introverted or extroverted? Things like that.
And so what are they doing? Are they looking at my Facebook profile? Are they figuring out what I'm buying online? Is that the sort of thing they're doing to build up a profile of me?
It's a little mysterious to when you ask them for specifics of how do you know, but it's clearly a lot of it is using correlations. So in other words, if I collect, you know, hundreds or thousands of different data points about you, from what kind of car you drive to what magazines you subscribe to your income and where you live in the country and all these other things, they claim that they can identify patterns that correspond to, you know, personality types, and then that they can use what they know about people's personality types to target messages to them that they'll actually respond to. Like you might respond to a different ad, for instance, if your support for the right to bear arms for the Second Amendment is driven by traditionalism and the fact that your father and grandfather had a gun, versus if you are maybe more paranoid and you're worried about an intruder breaking into your house. That's the kind of thing that Cambridge Analytica claims their psychographic profiling can help political campaigns with.
And chillingly, this
it's
is
important to point out, though, yeah, the way this is very kind of controversial within the right is that there's a lot of Republican campaign data firms that help political campaigns use data to win elections. And many of them are very skeptical of the work Cambridge Analytica does. They don't think it works. And Mercer and Bannon were willing to take a chance on it and invest a lot of money in Cambridge and then use it to try to push campaigns to use it and kind of turn it into a pretty big player in the United States.
See, that's fascinating, because here's Steve Bannon who gives a speech. He says, I like to be seen as Darth Vader. I like to be seen as the guy with the black hat, mysterious and ruthless. We read that this kind of analytical research is based on military-style psychological operations from 25 years of the US Army in Afghanistan and Pakistan. To what extent do people like Bannon and people like Mercer enjoy cultivating that sense of themselves as dark operatives? Or is this just a way to sell Cambridge Analytica to unsuspecting candidates?
I don't know what's in Bannon or Mercer's minds, but clearly the panic on the left since the election that said that, you know, the Republicans have cracked the code to manipulate people and manipulate their emotions to win elections has been great for Cambridge's business. That's a concept that that has helped them sell their services to more campaigns and to commercial clients and governments around the world. So I don't know whether that's, you know, part of some master plan on Robert Mercer's part. It was like this great confluence, as Nick Confessori of the New York Times wrote a story. You know, liberals didn't want to have to admit that their candidate just plain old lost to Donald Trump. So it was kind of comforting to say, well, you know, Trump had this secret weapon that was kind of dark and mysterious, and that's the only reason he won. And the people at Cambridge Analytica, this data firm, were happy to have that be the narrative that prevailed for a little while.
So before Mr. Mercer turned his attention to Mr. Trump, Steve Bannon and Kellyanne Conway were fellow travellers with him. They were a trio together. How did Bannon and Conway get involved with Mercer?
In Bannon's case, he's been with the Mercer family for a few years. And what I mean by that is that they were involved in a lot of projects together. Cambridge Analytica was one. Another one was Breitbart News, where Steve Bannon actually was a big fan of Andrew Breitbart, who was the founder of Breitbart News, who died a few years ago. Bannon, when Breitbart was still alive, Bannon was involved in trying to turn the news organization into something bigger, something more. And he recruited, or he helped kind of get Robert Mercer involved financially to give Breitbart the money it needed to succeed.
Aha, so Breitbart, there it is. It's an alt-right news site. It's the ultimate in fake news. It's got undertones and overtones, frankly, of white supremacy. It's failing. It's rambling along with Bannon there, and it needs an injection of funds. So who do they turn to? The billionaire Robert Mercer, and he opens that fire hose. Is that it?
Part of that is true. That their financial problems were actually, I'm not sure you can blame those on Bannon. They actually had a problem. They had a problem where they got a big story wrong, actually. They had kind of exposed what appeared to be this big scandal, and they thought it was, and then afterwards it turned out they'd been sort of misled. And Breitbart was in the wilderness for a while, and they were essentially running out of money. And that was the time when Bannon basically kept them going month to month, paying their bills to keep the lights on, and meanwhile used his connections, he's a former Goldman Sachs banker, to try to find a big investor to come in and keep Breitbart going. And that's how Mercer got involved.
And what's the connection between Kellyanne Conway, the president's advisor today, Trump's advisor, and the billionaire Robert Mercer?
I couldn't tell you actually how they first got together, but they've been working for a few years. And between Kellyanne Conway and Steve Bannon, those were probably the two kind of closest outside advisors to the Mercer family. Kellyanne did a lot of work with Robert Mercer's daughter, Rebecca, who's really more the day-to-day person who's really involved in the family's political activities. And so during the last election cycle, the Mercers were huge supporters of Republican Ted Cruz in the Republican presidential primary. And it was actually Kellyanne Conway who was hired by the Mercers to run an outside advertising group to support Ted Cruz. Now, after Cruz drops out, Kellyanne Conway joins the Trump campaign. She's replaced by a guy named Dave Bossie, who's another kind of Mercer confidant. He then joins the Trump campaign. And so it sort of becomes like a farm team for the Trump campaign.
Do I have this right? So here we have Robert Mercer. He's backing the ultra-conservative Senator Ted Cruz. He and his family put $13.5 million into a political action committee to support Senator Cruz. Then, as you say, Cruz drops out and he turns his attention to Trump. In this crucial meeting, actually, between Mercer's daughter, Rebecca, and Trump's daughter, Ivanka. They're the ones who do the deal. The daughters do the deal. And to what extent is this the deal that Ivanka must have signed up to, can we surmise? If you want Mercer's millions, you get Mercer's politics and you get Mercer's people.
You know, I'm not sure it happened exactly like that, but definitely, let's be clear. I mean, they were not Trump supporters during the Republican primary. And afterwards, there was a relatively brief period in which, as you're right, Rebecca Mercer met with Ivanka Trump in Trump Tower. That's also, it's important to note that within a few weeks of all this, Cambridge Analytica, the Republican data firm that previously had not been working with Trump, starts working with Trump. And that's something that the Mercers are very upfront about for the political campaigns they fund. They want them to also use their data firm.
And how significant is she overall, Rebecca Mercer, in this whole story?
Well, since neither of the Mercers are particularly forthcoming, it's hard to know where the father's views and priorities end and hers begin. What is different, though, is that Robert Mercer is very content to remain in the background and doesn't have a lot of meetings, wouldn't take a position on the transition team or anything that direct. Whereas Rebecca Mercer, she sits on a lot of boards of directors of things like the American National History Museum. She attends fundraisers. She ran her father's super PAC during the end of the campaign. So she's much more social and much more kind of willing to make herself a player in political circles than her father is.
And just one final question. To what extent is Robert Mercer with his millions, and Bannon and Kellyanne Conway and Mercer's daughter Rebecca, motivated, at least initially, by a real hatred for the Clintons? Has that been the kind of the driving force, or at least the initiating force in this campaign?
I think, like a lot of Republican donors, Donald Trump was not the Mercers' first choice. They spent as much as almost anyone on a different candidate during the Republican primary. But there really was a sense across the Republican donor landscape that you know, anybody but Clinton, and that the party had to rally around whoever the party chose to defeat Hillary Clinton.
And in fact, Mercer wrote at one point, we need all hands on deck to ensure that Mr. Trump prevails. This is five seconds after he was saying that Senator Cruz would have to prevail. He said, no, forget that. Trump's got to prevail.
That's right. And in another statement, they referred to the apocalyptic choice that faced Americans in November. So they saw it in extremely stark terms that it would be almost like the end of the world if Hillary Clinton were to prevail in the election. And so that gives you a sense for the kind of passion that they were bringing to this election, even though they'd originally, you know, favored a different candidate on the Republican side.
Well, as you say, some of the ties between the Mercers and Bannon and Conway and Trump are head spinning. Thank you for making our heads spin this evening.
Oh, thank you, Ellen.